Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sturge, at one point it felt like half of college football was in the transfer portal this year. And it's because the transfer rules, as laid down by the NCAA, were extremely vague. And a lot of players just saw an opportunity to get out, hit the eject button, go somewhere else. Well, today, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN staff writer, has released that the NCAA Division I Council has adjusted four guidelines used to decide immediate eligibility waivers. Now, it's not all transfers. We're talking about just immediate eligibility waivers, all of which include greater involvement of athletic directors from an athlete's original school. The guidelines also include potentially more restrictive language for when waiver requests should be granted. Schools must now prove an athlete's transfer is, quote, due to documented, extenuating, extraordinary, and mitigating circumstances outside of the student athlete's control in order to have a waiver approved. The adjusted guidelines addressed four types of waiver requests. Athletes who no longer have opportunities to play at their original school. I'm not exactly sure what that means. Maybe loss of scholarship?
I'm guessing that like the guy that the Georgia wide receiver that
or anybody who's been busted for drugs or disciplinary issues.
Yeah, you no longer represent the University of Georgia football team. That guy.
Okay. Number two. Athletes who are victims of egregious behavior that impacts their health and well-being. Sounds a little bit like the Justin Fields situation, possibly.
Yeah, I would even think this would go...
I could see it falling into that category.
Yeah, more toward Chris Still from Florida, who went to the football coaches and said, I don't want a room with this guy, please move me. And they don't do it, and the guy ends up, what, beating up a woman and all this stuff. I would think that that would come under... egregious behavior.
All right. Number three, athletes who transfer because of a recent injury or illness to an immediate family member.
That's a no-brainer.
That's a no-brainer.
And quite frankly, I think you throw out the 100-mile circle around.
Well, hang
campus.
On. We haven't got there yet. Okay. And number four, athletes wanting to be closer to home because of their own injury or illness, including mental health-related issues. So it's interesting that the NCAA has included specific language regarding mental health issues.
Yeah, people don't realize depression is an illness, all right?
Sure.
We look at mental health and go, oh, get over it, you know, blah, blah, blah. That to me, and again, we're a sports show, not a political show, but that to me has been one of the biggest failures in government is not realizing that mental illness is exactly that.
Okay, so to recap, any athlete who no longer have opportunities to play at their original school, athletes who are victims of egregious behavior that impacts their health or well-being, athletes who transfer because of an illness or injury to an immediate family member, or athletes who want to be closer to home because of their own injury or illness, including mental health-related issues. Waiver requests in all four subjects now will require statements from the athletic director of an athlete's original institution explaining the athlete's reasoning for transferring. I assumed at this point there was no documentation or proof or anything or justification required from the school's athletic director. Now the athletic director has to get involved. They have to go to the NCAA and say, athlete X, he needs to transfer because of this.
Right.
I feel that that is a valid excuse. Do what you will.
I'm with you on that because you got to dot the I's and cross the T's. As humans, we look to take advantage of things. So just because you're telling me this is the reason that you're transferring, I still want to make sure I hear it from the athletic director that this is the truth. So, yes, I like that move.
All right. It says waivers that claim athletes can no longer participate, and we think that means disciplinary issues, in their sport must now include statements from the athletic directors outlining, number one, whether the athlete could return to their team. So I assume they have to be in good standing with their team. They could return, meaning they've done what was asked of them or required of them from the university. Whether or not the athlete was dismissed. Sounds to me, if you're dismissed from your team, you are absolutely not eligible to transfer.
There should be no immediate eligibility. Right. You transfer, you sit out a year, you get your stuff together, and hopefully get back on the field a year later.
And thank you for bringing that up, because this is about immediate eligibility waivers. This is not about transferring and sitting out for a year. Number three, the athlete's academic standing. So that's important that is going to be involved in this.
If you're not eligible at school A, how should you be able to transfer to school B and the same rules not be applicable?
Right. And number four, the reason the athlete provided for their transfer. So they have to include, athletic directors have to give statements including whether or not the athlete could return to their team, whether the athlete was dismissed from their team, the athlete's academic standing, and the reason provided for their transfer. So again, they have to have a statement with some pretty important information involved.
You're going to have to tell the truth is what you're going to have to do, all right? You're not going to be able to go, I was done wrong here by the staff and not be able to back it up, a la Tate Martell. Tate Martell has no more business being eligible at the University of Miami this year than fly to the moon. Justin Fields has a bigger reason to be eligible at Ohio State than Tate Martell does at Miami.
If an athlete's new institution cannot document these areas, waiver requests would be denied. So you have to have this information or you will be denied. In the case of waivers based on a family member's health or their own health, the requests must be made within or immediately after diagnosis or learning of the illness or injury. And the new school must be located within 100 miles of the athlete's home or the ill family member. So that rule seems to stand.
Yeah.
And I'm not certain. I don't think it's a fantastic rule. I think that there should be a little bit of gray area in there, in that if there is not a school that is within your 100-mile radius that needs you. Let's say you're a long snapper and your family member is sick in Statesville, North Carolina, as we had with a player transferring out of Coastal Carolina. But no school within a 100-mile radius, being UNC Charlotte, Appalachian State, any of the other schools, they don't need a long snapper. They shouldn't be forced to take you as a long snapper. Now, I guess you could transfer and be a walk-on if you wanted to, but there should be some sort of caveat to that if there's a school within a 150-mile radius. Or, you know, throw a little extra radius on there if no school within that 100. If you've made attempts, if you can document that you've made attempts to contact multiple schools within that 100-mile radius and say, I'd like to transfer here for this reason, and they say, sorry, we just don't have a spot for you.
All right, how about this? I think you have, what are you, ultimately, what are you doing at university level? You're trying to get a degree. So I think you got to add, as you said, the appropriate word, caveat. How about a school that actually has the major that you started in, you want to continue in, and if one's 150 miles away versus this one that's 80 miles away and doesn't have your major, you ought to have that opportunity to go to the school 150 miles away.
And finally, waivers based on an athlete's health issues must include, quote, contemporaneous medical documentation from a treating professional showing the athlete was being treated before transferring.
You can't go. You can't go claim that the air conditioning unit was broken after you got the home warranty. You know what I mean? You're gonna have to document things like that. So I don't have. This feels to me like Diesel. They are overwhelmed by the process. You know the old saying, give them an inch, they'll take a mile. It feels like the NCAA is admitting, we're a little bit overwhelmed by this. Maybe we need to rein this back in. Now, you want to go transfer and sit out a year? That's your prerogative. My problem is all these guys that have used various issues to try to be eligible immediately.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they – actually apply these adjustments and these rules because, and we won't know that until we have multiple case studies, But it's interesting to see that them finally backing up on this thing and saying, whoa, I think we made it a little too easy for people to transfer, and then wham, it came out of nowhere.
You know, it's like taxes. Somebody's going to cheat on their taxes at some point. So my question to you is, Judge Diesel, not Judge Judy, Judge Diesel, you catch a guy red-handedly lying through this process. What is going to be the punishment for that? Now you're not just sitting out 1 year, you're sitting out two?
I think it should be a 2 year penalty if you're caught lying through this process. And the question becomes, what about the guys if you're a guy who just is transferring for playing time reasons, sorry bro, you got to sit out. You got to sit out for a year. You know, just because you couldn't get over the second team wherever you are doesn't mean that you can transfer somewhere else and take over and be on the second team there or get playing time there. But therein lies the rub. It's the guys who are transferring for that reason. Ultimately, they're secretly transferring for that reason, who are lying. And I think that's what this is designed to sort of weed out, those guys who don't have a medical extenuating circumstance, don't have
a family issue.
Don't have a family issue. They were not bullied or something at their original school. That is designed to kind of weed some of these guys out of the process.
Yeah, because I mean, you can go back and dot the I's and cross the T's and challenge them. And again, I want to find out what the punishment will be on an individual player that chooses to lie through his teeth, make things up. Imagine if they get into accusing somebody like a coach of doing something wrong and it's not true. You're gonna have to be held accountable for that.
I also want to know what kind of teeth this rule has, because they didn't make any mention, at least not in Adam Rittenberg's article, of what the punishment would be for a player caught lying in this process. Does that mean banishment from NCAA football? Does that mean a 2 year penalty? Would a 2 year penalty be big enough? I mean, what if it's a ban immediately? Boom, that might be what the XFL needs.
Yeah.
You know, you got these guys who are trying to game the system and trying to transfer for playing time. Sorry, bro, we caught you. Get out of here. Go to the XFL.
I mean, could you deliver a monetary fine? I don't
know.
No. Yeah, but here's what the NCAA will do.
Or force them to pay, I don't know, force them to pay back the value of their scholarship. I don't know.
Here's what the NCAA would ultimately end up doing. It is the weakest punishment of all time. You're going to have to give back your wins, you know what I mean? 8 years after the fact. No, I'm sorry, I'm not going in front of the little silver stick and Men in Black to forget my memory, you know what I mean? To me, making people vacate wins 8 years down after the 8 years down the road is the weakest punishment that the NCAA can come up with. I've always compared it to this. I think all of us as a teenager at some point snuck out of the house. That would be like getting caught by a parent coming back in and going, hey, here's your punishment. I want you to forget whatever good time you had last night. Yeah, right. You're not going to forget anything. All right, give it to us. Bring it. 844-GSP-ESPN. Is this just adding more gray area to an organization that hasn't proved that it can police itself in the first place? Also, Odd Shark just put out their college football national championship odds. Diesel, this is downright sad. We'll bring that to you as well. 844-GSP-ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up in the next segment, we're going to hear from Scott Kiefer of the Greenville News. He's got a couple of great articles out. But Diesel, Brandon Gibson tweets me, and he is absolutely correct in this. Going back to the favorite broadcasters, he said on Twitter, he reaches out, says, regarding the favorite broadcaster discussion, as a diehard Clemson fan, Jim Phillips was terrific, but no one on the radio called college football better than the legendary Bob Fulton. And I agree. Bob Fulton was the voice of the Carolina Gamecocks at the same time that Jim Phillips was the voice of the Clemson Tigers. They had different styles, but Bob Fulton had one of the smoothest, deepest voices that I ever heard. And the ironic part about it, you know, if you go to ESPNUpstate.com, I wrote my blog this week on being at the George Rogers Tournament. You know, when you looked around and you saw Michael Dean Perry, Ray Williams, Keith Williams, LaVon Kirkland, and other former Clemson players at the George Rogers Tournament supporting him, you realize these guys are friends and they respect each other for what they've done. And that was the case with Bob Fulton and Jim Phillips. As a matter of fact, when Jim passed away after, I believe, was the first Clemson game of the year, and that was about a decade ago, the following week or the next home game, Bob Fulton came up and did a quarter of the Clemson broadcast in honor of Jim Phillips, and that is an absolute great memory. So, Brandon, I'm 100% in agreement. Bob Fulton, he was absolutely next level, but they all were, Diesel. Back then in the South, every school had their voice, and it was their guy. You know what I mean? We mentioned Larry Munson, John Ward from Tennessee. Unfortunately, the recent passing of the Auburn play-by-play guy, Rod Bramblett, with his wife, Paula. And then, you know, legendary, the Eli Gold at Alabama. You know, Jim Phillips. We mentioned Woody Durham up at North Carolina. All these schools had their guy. And I think one of our callers hit it on the head during that discussion. Right now, it feels like these guys want to be too buttoned down the middle. I think that's why we love our kind of homer broadcast at the collegiate football level. So, again, those are really good recommendations. Odd Shark just put out their updated college football national championship odds. And, Diesel, this is problematic for the game of college football for multiple reasons. The favorite this year at +205 is the University of Alabama. The second favorite this year at +240, the Clemson Tigers. You drop all the way to +700 before Georgia comes in at number three. That's a wide gap from 240 to 700 between Clemson and Georgia. So that just goes to show you that in the eyes of the odds makers, Clemson and Alabama have put themselves on a level that's really far away from anybody else. But to me, this is also problematic. Georgia's 3, Ohio State 4, Oklahoma 5. Same cast of characters that have been at that level, the college football level, playoff level of college football in the last few years. We need, even though I don't want it to be, we need a Michigan, a Texas, an Oregon to maybe break through and make an appearance. But again, Georgia's 3rd at +700. Ohio State's 4th at +900. And with all due respect to our buddy Chris Smith, you can follow him on Twitter at ChrisSmith1980. That's a high, high ratio for Ohio State, knowing that they're taking on Justin Fields as a quarterback, which I'm not sure that ends all that great, and you have a new head coach. There's a transition period. Ohio State being number 4, but at +900. That's bad. Number 5 is Oklahoma, +1,400. So, again, Alabama and Clemson have separated themselves at a level that's not even close, because Michigan is the 6th favorite, +1,500. Then it goes to Texas at +2,000. And then it drops to Oregon at +2,500. LSU at +2,600. Florida at +3,000. Notre Dame, Penn State, and Utah at +5,000. Texas A&M at +5,500. Washington at +6,000. The reality, those odds aren't that great for the other teams in college football. From this, it feels like the odds makers are in full agreement. You are seeing Clemson, Alabama, Part 5 at some point in the college football playoff this year. But you can't – some of these other schools got to find a way to move up. Florida got a big defensive end commit today. And the Gators saw their recruiting class for next year jump into the top five. But even though we want the best, we want to see the two best teams match up, Diesel, before all is said and done, if this continues at this rate where there's that much separation between the Crimson Tide and the Clemson Tigers and the rest of the field – people are going to get bored with this because people got bored with Golden State's run this year. Thank God that the Canadians watched on the TV ratings were actually down. So while it's great for Clemson fans, while it's great for Alabama fans, maybe even SEC and ACC fans, this does become problematic for college football as a whole if this continues for another 4 years.
So how do you fix it?
That's it. You got to beat them. You got to beat
them. Yeah, but that doesn't actually provide a solution. How do you fix it? The only way, it's easy to say, well, everybody else just get better. Well, what does that mean? You not think that other teams are already trying to do that? I mean, that's what every single football team in America is trying to do, is trying to get better. But the problem is the gulf, the ocean – of money in between these top five or six programs and everybody else. Look, I understand that is anti-capitalist to say, sorry, you're making too much money. We can't let you do that. But in a competitive landscape where at least what we're saying is that parity is what we want, what else can you do other than sort of siphon off some of their financial gain and redistribute? I get what I'm saying. I understand what I'm saying. It's communist. But isn't that what we want? We want parity. Parity in college football is communism.
I would actually disagree. I'd say it's socialism, where you want everybody being equal.
Okay, you're splitting hairs for the sake
of
the argument,
but
though.
My point being, 85 scholarships. Everybody should be in college football somewhere between 5 and 7, 7 and 5, if the parity, if the same rules.
We're talking about one season, and you have to look at it over a 5 to 10 year period.
But, the reality is quite frankly, some people are just better at what they do than others. And right now it looks like Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney are just flat out better at what they do than everyone else. And That's one thing you can't factor in.
I've been lit up even on this show by you about reducing scholarships at the FBS level. They've done it multiple times before, but for some reason, when I brought it up 2 or 3 months ago, oh my God, we can't do that. We can't reduce scholarships. We can't let them have 27 gray shirts who don't actually count to their scholarship limit, but they're on the squad anyway. We can't reduce that number. Yeah, you can. It's easy. You just make a rule. Change the rule.
But I don't think a competitive college football program can go below 85 scholarships.
They did it before they started allowing all these extra rules, all these sort of sideways ways to get 5 or 6 more guys on your roster. They had that before. It's just taking it back to the way that it was done before they made the rules so easy.
You got to have bodies out there for practice and everything else. And that to me is why the FCS, it's kind of amazing at what some of those schools do, what with 65 scholarships.
Yeah, those guys are able to do it. Why can't the FBS guys do it?
Because it's a business.
Oh, okay.
It is a business.
Okay.
App State's out there building a new end zone facility.
It all comes back to money.
Yep, and guess what? App State, they're right in the middle of it building that facility. You've shown me the raising of it when they tore it down. They're getting it, and that's why they made the jump
from
FCS to
D1. We're not talking about facilities races. We're talking about on-the-field competitiveness.
All right, but you know what? There is a formula in place, and I am a firm believer at that high of a level, you can't go below 85 scholarships. But we can get into that discussion later. Speaking of scholarships, Clemson, one particular player, in Scott Kiefer's opinion, when he announced that he was coming to Clemson, that changed their fortunes. Can it be as simple as that? But when we come back, Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News sharing some stories on C.J. Spiller, Trevor Lawrence, and more.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So a lot of good things going on around Clemson, but you know what? You have to have a starting place, if you will, to begin. And we bring on Scott Kiefer, 30 years as a sports writer for the Greenville News. You can follow him on Twitter, at Scott Kiefer. And Scott, I hope you're enjoying this summer, because in about 3 weeks, you are going to be right back in the middle of college football season.
It's here whether we're ready or not, isn't it, Sturge? Holy cow. Less than 3 weeks out, we'll be at the ACC kickoff in Charlotte, and it's all intense from there.
You know, I call this time of the year right before media days, and of course that, a few weeks into August, Listtober, you know what I mean? We get so many sports writers that give us their lists. We did that earlier today with the retirement of Bob Lee after 40 years at ESPN, who are our best sports broadcasters. But I enjoy the stories that you and the Anderson Independent, you at the Greenville News and the Anderson Independent, have been putting out. And even though I know C.J. Spiller, I talked to him down there on the sideline. He's very giving with his time. You had some interesting items, if you will, in your article, Game Changer, talking about C.J. Spiller's commitment being the thing that kind of started this run for Dabo Swinney.
No question. I guess we kind of felt it was time to go back and, like, revisit, some of the things that have brought Clemson football to the top of the college football heap, and what it may take to keep them there. And, you know, when you start thinking about recent history, C.J. Spiller, in my mind, is one of the first guys you think of, because, you know, his surprise commitment, 13 years ago, it's hard to believe, kind of shocked the college football world, because he was a Florida guy who was, expected to go to Florida or Florida State or maybe even Southern Cal were among his finalists. And he pulled a fast one on signing day. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to his old high school coach, and he was just chuckling, recounting that experience. And he said, when CJ reached over and put on a Clemson cap in front of this, our gym in Lake Butler, Florida, he said the whole gym just went silent, about 1,000 people. And he mm-hmm. said it was eerie. But he said, look, nobody ever C.J. never – he was his own man. Mm-hmm. He made his own decisions, didn't listen to outside forces, and look back. It kind of paid off for him. He set a lofty standard for Clemson recruiting.
And, you know, the ironic part, his mom didn't even know. He had kept all this. You know, you said – say in this article, I find this fascinating, and I realize, having gotten to know him, this is the truth, because you can't – the best stories are the truth, but – he literally walked by his mom right before he walked up to the stage and slipped a piece of paper in her hand, as you say, with 7 letters, Clemson, C-L-E-M-S-O-N.
Yep. I think she had no idea. I think she thought he was bound to be a Gator.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she was just as shocked as everyone else. But I think if you ask her now, she'll say, yeah, he made the right decision.
You know, and that kind of brought that first iconic combo, if you will, Thunder and Lightning with James Davis. You know what I mean? And then CJ gets hot. I think his freshman year, that Georgia Tech game, when granted they were dressed up like purple Barneys with orange helmets on. I'm sorry. I will always hate that uniform of purple on purple with orange helmets. But and then that led to Taj Boyd. And Taj actually comes up in this album, in this article as well. And I think that group of 12 in that class did it. But the one thing that I noticed when it comes to Taj's comments here, when it comes to C.J. Spiller's comments, is how much they love Clemson. They're still here. C.J., now retired from pro football, he lives here, is invested in the businesses, and they have done such a good job of being who they are.
Exactly. And I think when CJ came on his visit, which he took very late in the process, he'd already been to the other schools, and he came to Clemson, I think, just a few weeks before signing day. His host on that trip was one James Davis, who was just a sophomore running back at the time. And, look, he said that James Davis, and also he mentioned Reggie Merriweather, kind of took him under their wing, mm-hmm. and he fell in love not only with their personalities but also the Clemson atmosphere. He loved the small-town atmosphere, and I think that's what if you ask these recruits years later, you know, what not only brought them here in the first place, but what has prompted many of them to remain in the area, that's it. I mean, it's a change of pace, or what they're used to if you're from Lake Butler, Florida. But there's something appealing about that, and Dabo Swinney just kind of perpetuates that myth as well.
As we continue with Scott Kiefer with the Greenville News, follow him at his name on Twitter. That's K-E-E-P-F-E-R. Don't blame it that he's an NC State grad. We'll forgive him. You can also go to greenvilleonline.com and find out his work, Manny Robinson, all the great people at the Greenville News. But you have to also look ahead. And you did an interesting piece with Trevor Lawrence as well. And some of them we knew, like, you know, he wears number 16. Why? Because he idolized Peyton Manning growing up. He was kind of he liked the lighter shade of orange, if you will, growing up, and that being Tennessee. And, you know, people are still upset that Clemson has him because it was Butch Jones's fault that Tennessee didn't get him out of Cartersville. But the thing that I loved about the article is three things you may not know about Trevor Lawrence. Is the one thing that caught my attention is he's cool, calm, collected, except in an intramural basketball game. But football's not the most important thing to Trevor Lawrence.
No, and, you know, he's said that from day one. And I think that you'll find that's a common thread among many of the Clemson football players is look, it's no secret that Dabo Swinney wears his faith and religion on his sleeve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you like it or not, if you don't like it, you go elsewhere. If it does appeal to you, and trust me, it does appeal to many parents as well. But look, the kids relate to him. And it's not only that, they love his enthusiasm as well. But, you know, a lot of these kids today have a strong sense of faith, and Trevor Lawrence will be the first to admit it. And I think it helps keep him grounded. I mean, mm-hmm. like he's told us many times, you know, there are so many things more important than football. He said football is a fun thing and a fun pastime, and I love it. But my faith is what, mm-hmm. you know, is most important to me. So I think that's what helps keep him calm on the field.
So, Scott, you and I have done, you know, we've had fun out there on the road, national championship games, things of that nature. And, you know, I will miss to a certain extent hanging out with all y'all this fall as I do Carolina Panthers. But let me ask you this. I was on a cruise with my whole family a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, you know, got to know some guys. We talked sports at the end of the night, things of that nature. And they questioned how good of a coach, much less how great of a coach Dabo is, going, what's his coaching tree? And I'm like, you can't do that. His legacy is keeping his coaching tree intact, and they're not leaving anywhere for jobs because they're making $1 million or more and this or that and the other. And they're like, but look at Saban's coaching tree. And my response is guess what, people? In life, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
No question. You're 100% right. Look, Dabo's coaching tree has taken root and sprouted right in Clemson. I mean, you know, there's a inherent loyalty that permeates the entire program. And why would an assistant coach on his staff leave? Mm-hmm. You know, it would have to be a situation that probably is not going to come along because they're making great money. They're at a program that has established itself as the premier one in college football at the time. And look, Dabo has a sense of loyalty, and they have a sense of loyalty to him. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
All right, again, ACC football kickoff begins on, what, Tuesday, July 16th, but you and Manny and everybody at the Greenville News will have it all tied down. Tell us what's coming between now and then.
Well, we have a series. This Spiller story kind of kicked off a 12-part series we call the Summer Series that will describe for readers, you know, how Clemson got there, chronicle the trip to the top, and also how they're going to approach the future and how they're going to stay on top. And we also have individual player profiles, which you saw the Trevor Lawrence one to kick off that series, of the top 40 players for Clemson. And all this will unfold over the next 6 weeks before the season opener. So we really think we've got things cranking up here.
All right. Again, when I hit you yesterday, I said we need to get together for a beverage. I'll give you a public invite. We will be at Hall of Fame Sports Grill on Wade Hampton Boulevard tomorrow night. Come down and join us.
So,
All right. But Scott, thanks for everything you do. Continue the great work, and I really appreciate everything you do for me.
Glad to do it, buddy. Thanks.
Right. Scott Kiefer with the Greenville News. Now, Diesel, when we come back, we'll go ahead and pop him on. We are being shown up in our own Health Air studio right now by someone that wore a blazer in here. Are you kidding me? He must have had a big announcement to deal with. 844-GSP-ESPN. So welcome back in. We're going till 6:45. We have a winner take all game number 3 in the College World Series between Michigan and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt got the 4-1 win last night to even the series. But it's been a nice, exciting day here in the upstate of South Carolina. Jordan Coons, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joins us in studio. You can follow him on Twitter at JCKVoice. In Jordan, about 4 o'clock this afternoon, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits dropped the announcement after not having an affiliate last year at the NHL level. Big-time news today announcing that they're now affiliated with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Sturge, thanks for having me on today. That is absolutely correct. It is perhaps the biggest day in our organization's history. No question about it.
You know, the reality is I can share some information now. I saw you the week before we went on our vacation. You were watching the Stanley Cup up at Hall of Fame. Place is legit, is it not?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be up there tomorrow night putting that one out there again. But I looked at you and said, so when are you guys announcing your affiliation with the Hurricanes? And your eyes went up, and you you couldn't figure out where. I was like, hey, man, I got sources too, bro.
You scooped us.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to be honest with you, after that, we never talked about it because we didn't, A, there was no confirmation on it. But,
right.
B, that's not our party to spoil because – it had to be a tough year, your first year, with the number of ins and outs, players that came in, that just to get into a rhythm is play by play. You know what I mean? Is it fair to say little consistency with the roster, trying to fit some square pegs into a round hole because you don't have a system in which you're working under?
Yeah, I mean, being unaffiliated comes with that risk. You know, you have players that are essentially your entire team is free agents. Yes, we had players that came in that were NHL contracted guys. Chris Nell was part of the New York Rangers prospect list. He was on our club for quite a while. So that's one example of a guy that came in. But aside from that, it was a free agent club that was essentially rebuilding and waiting for the right regional fit. Carolina comes around after 21 years with the Florida Everblades, and they come open. They had to be our first choice. They were our first choice. The deal's done. And to tell your point about basically having synergy and having a process, this ultimately makes us so much more competitive on ice, too. Look up and down the list of the depth chart. Carolina makes it to the Eastern Conference Final. They are a meteorically risen club from where they were in past years. Charlotte Checkers won the Calder Cup. Many of the ECHL contracted guys, AHL contracted guys that were in Florida got to the Eastern Conference Final in the Kelly Cup playoffs. I mean, up and down, this is a powerful club that we are now affiliated with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. It is truly a day that we'll look back on and say, this is the day that the Greenville Swamp Rabbits turned around.
And Jordan, how much of a difference does it make to be affiliated with a Hurricanes team or any franchise for that matter that is an annual contender in the NHL versus being affiliated with a team that's at the bottom of the barrel.
Right. This is huge. I mean, it automatically, ultimately gives credibility. It gives a strength on the roster. I mean, obviously, you still have to have your guys and a couple players that were re-signed already, and there's more to come from last year's group that were power players. We want to make sure we had the right guys that would be here consistently because you run the risk at times of players leaving you for an extended period of time if there's injuries at the American Hockey League level. So those players will then go up. But you know that you have game breakers of a quality that right now, heading into next year, exist. So last year, you're up against an Orlando. They've got Otto Sampi. He obliterates anybody that you come across. He was a point-per-game guy. Justin Auger in Florida, same thing. I mean, there were game-breaking players on AHL, NHL-affiliated rosters. Now the Swamp Rabbits have the opportunity to have that. That is in itself already an amazing upgrade.
All right, we'll come back. Jordan's hanging out with us. If you got a question for him, 844-GSP-ESPN. But we'll get you updated. You already had a couple of player moves last week. Kept one of the players that was a spark plug on this past year's Swamp Rabbits team. Also, some other information as well. And, of course, Jordan, one of the hardest working play-by-play guys. I tell all these football play-by-play guys, they ain't got nothing on Jordan and what he does with hockey because those guys are just special. But we'll also ask his opinion as well. Who's his favorite sports broadcaster, sports reporter, in honor of Bob Lee announcing his retirement earlier today? 40 years at ESPN, the longest tenured employee, going back to when it operated in a double-wide trailer in the middle of a field. That's how far ESPN has come. But 45 minutes to come, the Swamp Rabbits, it is official. They are the ECHL affiliate for the Carolina Hurricanes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.